I was debating doing a Little John okay. Didn't think it would work out. Couldn't do it.
Penis. Oh, good Lord. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
You never played the penis game when you were a kid?
I did.
Okay, well then why are you confused?
You're I don't know. I wasn't feeling it.
Not feeling the penis game?
Nah.
Welcome, everyone.
Hello.
This is The New Noise with Shane Told and Mike Howell at Slappy Slam.
Not the old noise. Nobody wants to hear about that. Only the new.
No. You don't know the penis game? No, people know the penis game. People know
it. Yes. Everybody knows
the penis. It's when you're in a very... I'll break it down for you for people that don't know and just think I'm weird or creepy. Basically, when you're in a setting, let's say... school, classroom,
airplane.
Maybe airplane, or, you know, church, maybe. You just...
Church, my God.
I don't know, I never went to church. You say it really quietly, like as quietly as you can, and then the next person has to say it slightly louder. So you start with like, penis. And then Mike, it would be Mike's turn, and he would go, and then I would go, penis. You know, and like that until you know, eventually
it's just
someone
like
wins
a
or
big
loses.
Game of chicken, really.
It is, yes, except you don't say chicken. Yeah. So that's it. And I tried to play and it went horribly wrong. And now the view count went from 837 to 48, which is fine. I understand. People don't like that. I totally understand. Twitch, probably not huge fans of it. That's okay.
I mean, it is what it is.
So welcome. Welcome to The New Noise with Shane Told and Mike Howell. We talk about all kinds of musical stuff. Typically, we focus on all the new records, EPs, and full-length albums that are coming out or came out last week.
And singles.
And we pepper in the singles.
We get some singles in there.
We pepper in the singles, too. So,
a nice seasoning.
Yeah. So, first things first, we don't always talk about, you know, singles from last week as much. There's just always so many. And obviously an album is a bigger deal, but I just listened to the new Spirit Box single.
Incredible.
Which I'd love to get your take on. Obviously this band, I'd say of all the bands, you know, that have gotten popular in the pandemic, Spirit Box has got to be at the top of the list.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's kind of crazy the past year. I think they've gone from like 100,000 monthly listeners up to right around 600K now. Like, and well-deserved, don't get me wrong. Spirit Box is absolutely incredible. They're bringing... really cool elements from a lot of different like metalcore subsects, as far as like progressive influences, as well as just kind of standard run of the mill metalcore stuff that's going on. I think it's so cool what they're doing. They're writing great music.
Yeah. Yeah. And,
they announced the album.
Exactly. They announced the album. It's coming. And this is obviously, you know, it's their debut album, which is hard to believe. But
kinda
yeah,
crazy.
I'm super excited for it. And this song, it's probably the best song they've ever put out. I mean, obviously
you think so?
Well, in terms of like a song, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like this has a really catchy chorus, some really great technical playing, lyrics that I think are really important. I really, really like this song. I don't know if it'll have maybe the playability, like the repeatability of some of their other stuff, but this is like right out of the gate. I'm like, oh, this is a, This is a banging single. So
it's really good. I think Circle With Me is probably going to get more radio play still, but this is a great single to announce an album with. They also announced Bully Roller is going to be on the album, as well as Constance, which are songs that are already out. So I'm a bit worried about, like, I don't think this album comes out till September, right?
Right.
So I'm a bit worried about getting over assaulted with singles from the album and not being able to get go in a little blind. But I think I'm super excited for this record still. It's got to be debut album of the year. I mean, I don't know who else.
You never know. It's not always, really it's mostly just about, and I know this isn't as much a problem with you, Mike, but with debut albums, a lot of times you don't really hear about them until they've been out for a while, right? And then the hype starts to build. So, but I think, you know, this is going to be a big one. So I wanted to bring that up first. I'm sure a lot of people did. A lot of people are talking about Capstan in the chat right now, too. Capstan, another band that I think is about to really come into their own with this new record, which I'm doing a feature on. So,
Hell yeah.
I'm excited for that as well.
And I'd be amiss if I didn't talk about hashtag Year of Deathcore, the new Slaughter Prevail single. That thing was absolutely massive. God, that band is so stupidly heavy. It's so great.
Though. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know that we're going to be talking about a very, very heavy band in the top five tonight. A little birdie told me a couple of the bands on this list. But I want to go back to last week. We had an absolute monster week, not a top five, a top 10. I didn't quite get to all of them in totality. I did listen to tracks from every release, but I'm down to talk about anything you want, Mike, because there's just some really, really great stuff in here.
Well, we got to talk about it first because it was our number one. And obviously, I know the people kind of want to hear about it. Greatest Hits by Waterfall.
Yeah.
Addictive record.
I'll be honest with you. I like the band. I like the band. I thought I liked the band more for their outside the box thinking, their kind of funny aesthetic, the fact that they didn't take themselves so seriously. I felt like I liked the band more for that and respected them for that.
Than the music
now,
itself.
I can say I think that they are absolutely an amazing band in terms of their songwriting, their production, their lyrics. This record is really, really good. It blew away my expectations that were already relatively high. I wouldn't be surprised if this is in the top five records of the year when all is said and done, especially once we have a little more time to sit with it, because some of this stuff was a little hard to digest at first because I was like, what the hell is going on?
There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
And I think that Waterpark has always been really good about putting a personality onto the record, things like that. But I think this is one where it's really kind of shining and you can really get a feel for like Austin and Otto and like every member of the band is just seeped throughout this record. And they really just kind of embraced themselves a little bit more on this record than others, I feel like. And it kind of shows, it's just so well put together. Like every song, except obviously like the interludes and things like that, are very catchy. Like I think Violet is just an absolute banger. Like, I'm gonna break your knees to make you stay with me. That's just so fun. I don't know why, because it's a song about a stalker.
I mean, It's not that kind of lyrical content doesn't surprise me, but there's always a cleverness to it that I think sets it apart a little bit. But no, I really want to talk about the production again just for another second because you know, not only have I listened to a lot of records, I've made a lot of records, I know what goes into
You've made a production. Lot of records, Shane?
I have. Yes, I have.
Not River Oaks record.
I'm still hanging on to this EP right here, three songs. Get them while they're hot.
Hey, if it works, it works.
It's only 5 years old. But I just really was blown away with the production. It's not easy to come up with interesting sounds that are like creative and modern and new and not cliche, but work with the other production. And they still found a way to incorporate some elements of, you know, rock into it. And
like
that
guitar riff on Fuzzy, the, I guess, intro track, it's not the intro, but like that riff and solo, those are awesome.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it.
Really good. You can tell that they put in, they want to almost downplay, I think, the amount of like real time they probably spent on it or thought they put into it, but you can tell there's an immense amount of hours and hours of thought put into this record. And I am, I think it's a great pick for number one, Mike, and a record that everyone needs to hear. Everyone needs to hear it this year.
I agree. I think it definitely a standout record of 2021. Even if you're not a fan of pop punk, if you're not a fan of water parks, if you don't like aesthetic or anything, just go into it, listen to the record. You're going to find something super catchy that's going to be an earworm. And you're going to be, even if you don't like it, you're going to be mad that a song is stuck in your head. And I think that's a good sign of a record.
Yep. Absolutely. Okay, what else? We had nine more records. You pick one or two.
I want to talk about Vola.
Yeah.
That record is absolutely incredible. It is everything and more I wanted from the record. It is, I think, the perfect kind of progressive metal record right now. I think that these guys' songwriting is off the wall, and what they're doing, phenomenal. Another album with phenomenal production, too.
Phenomenal production, obviously in a much different way than Water Parks. I really enjoyed this album as well. I think this band is doing that a lot of bands in, I don't know if you want to call it prog, like whatever genre they're in. Mike's the genre expert.
You're close enough.
I feel like they are writing better songs than everybody else.
Yeah.
And it's not easy to take a 5-minute block of music and come out of it and being like, that was a great song, you know, because a lot of times, you know, when you're talking about something that's that long, it's stuff's going off on a tangent, and it's not necessarily supposed to be like, hey, that was a great song, but they somehow found a way to do it. And I think that that's really, really cool, and probably why they're getting so popular as well, because it, you don't just have to be a fan of like, oh, that's like a sick technical part or whatever. You can just be like, I just enjoy this as music because it's got that element as well.
Yeah. And I think they did a great job of doing this thing I really like, where every song on the record could be a standalone single as well. But when you kind of put it together, it works even better.
Yeah.
Like, it's just such a really a cool album. And like you were saying, if you're not a fan of like progressive metal, if when you think progressive metal, you think bands like Dream Theater and stuff like that. This is not that. It is much more modern. I would almost even like, if you really like era and you want a more like calm down, chill era, like this is it. 100%. The songwriting is still there. The catchiness is still there. They're doing so many.
Yes. I think in France, they should change the name to Voila. Voila. That's
funny. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a band called Voila.
I'm sure there is. Okay, what else? A few more records we should talk about from last week. What else did you jump into?
We got to talk about the comeback. We got Devil Wears Prada, Zombie 2.
Yep.
What'd you think?
I mean, I feel like I heard most of it last week. I think they released three songs, right?
Two.
Was it only two? Okay, I maybe had a little bit of a sneak preview on this one. But no, I think that this is really exciting for not just their fans, but just people in the genre that maybe we wanted a little bit of a throwback to that. And also, you know, subject matter, like it's songs about zombies. It isn't too intellectual.
It's
not necessarily like about the world and what's going on today, which, to be honest, sometimes maybe it's nice to have a little bit of an escape and a little break from the shitty reality we have. And I think this is a really, really great record. And someone says in the chat, the Devil Wears Prada is seriously coming back hard. It's true. I mean, I don't think they ever went anywhere.
They didn't go away, in my opinion.
No, but people that sort of have forgotten about them maybe are like, oh yeah, this band still rocks and this EP is awesome.
Mm-hmm. I think this, a lot of people who were kind of tentative after like Dead Throne and 818 and Transit Blues, and they're like, Devil Wears Prada, the sound's changed, the writing's changed. This shows that they can still be heavy, as well as brought in some of their learnings from those other albums as far as songwriting, lyricism, things like that. And I think it's going to get a bunch of people checking out those records, the act as well. And hopefully coming back to the band. I mean, I think that they're phenomenal. They're great songwriters. I wouldn't be surprised if this is on my EP of the year list.
Yeah.
Absolutely awesome.
Yeah, Mike, I 100% agree. That's the comeback. Another comeback of sorts, the new album from 21 Pilots. Obviously big news whenever they make a new album. And I actually, this was a little bit different from what I expected.
Yeah.
Very, very, very polished in like a sort of a poppy way. You know, they don't have that kind of edge, that rawness that they had, I think, on some of their early stuff.
I think most of that's gone.
Most of that's gone, which to me, I think that's maybe a good thing. I don't always think that's a good thing, but in this case, I feel like this band shines when they're able to project their very good lyrics into kind of a more of a poppy theme, I guess. It was working for me. And again, this isn't a band that I've ever like really paid a whole lot of attention to, but I do think that this album is worth people listening to. I think it is a good record.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was definitely not what I was expecting either. I was kind of like, I heard the singles, they were very poppy. I was expecting a couple of tracks to be more kind of traditional old school 21 Pilots. I didn't really get that, which honestly pleasantly surprised me, because I think that it was just great songwriting all the way through for kind of a pop record. And I like the record. I'm not going to say it's going to be like album of the year, but it's a good record.
Yeah, 100%.
I want to talk about this One Morning Left record too.
Yeah.
Because I absolutely loved it. It's by no means doing anything crazy, but it was just kind of happy all the way through. And like,
it's an interesting way to describe it, but I get where you're at.
Like, kind of like what you were saying with Prada, and like, it's about zombies. Like, this record's just kind of like, I'm not going to say it's mocking like the 80s music and stuff like that, or like glam metal and stuff, but it's kind of embracing that, and it's really fun, and it's kind of throwbacky, and I think that they did it really well.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to talk about?
Yes, there was, but now it slips my mind. We had so many records last week.
By chance?
What's that? Oh, We Were Sharks is great. I mean, just so many great songs on that.
Bangers all the way through, honestly.
I deleted my top five because of
Was it Deadlights?
Oh yeah, Deadlights, cool, very cool record too.
Absolutely
one,
awesome.
One that I think people should be checking out, because the I don't know, again, bringing great songwriting into a heavy genre, which is nice 100%. To see. So yeah, man, so many great records last week. If you missed the episode, it's worth going back, because there's a lot to digest.
We also got to talk about one more real quick.
Okay.
I love the Gary Numan record.
Oh, yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah, I forgot
it's so
about
good.
It. So good. So good. And again, like this guy, like he comes out of nowhere with this like super creative and modern and forward thinking. Like, you don't expect that from a guy who
he's been in the business for 4 years.
Yeah, you know, it's incredible. So yes, Gary Numan, we cannot forget it.
Oh yeah, incredible. Ready to get in some new stuff this week?
Yeah, I'm ready. We got a nice top five list. Very excited for this. So let's break it down. Our top five most anticipated albums of the week. Pew, 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 pew. Yes.
Whoop, whoop, whoop. All right. So coming in at number five this week, we've got this band called Black Midi. They're from London. This is a weird band.
Yeah, you say it again.
I heard the single John L, and I thought that this is like one of the wildest things I've heard in a while. Yeah. They call themselves math rock, and I think that that's a fine genre to put yourself in. But if I was to really describe this band, it's like Primus meets Dance Gavin Dance. This band's absolutely wild. I mean, it's like math rock, right? But it's so weird and good. Like, it's got elements of punk, it's got elements of math core, it's got elements of prog, it's got kind of weird alt rock tinges into it as well. These guys are really good at kind of blending genres, and every single has just been weird in its own different way. Like, there's a song called Slow, which is not slow. There's a song called John L, which is just weird, like Primus inspired. And there's a song called Despair, which is slow. And I mean, I just absolutely love this band. Found them very recently, and I've been like diving into the back catalog. They're so good. I mean, and they're kind of a smaller band, so if you're more familiar with kind of like punk bands like Daughters or like a band like Squid or something like that, who are a little bit more popular, I think this might be one of your new favorite bands. Like, these guys are incredible.
Yeah, 100%. And they've got I actually have 300,000 monthly listeners. So, you know, people do know about this band, which is a great thing. And yeah, sometimes this kind of music can fall a little bit under the radar, but
especially in our scene, because it's a little bit fringe, I guess.
But yeah, I this is the kind of stuff, like, I listen to it, I'm like, how do you write this? You know,
it's
super creative and interesting. And yeah, they're taking it about as far as anybody can, which to me is really cool. I mean, it's just a lot, and a lot of fun too. I find that you were talking about another band earlier that was a lot of fun to listen to. This definitely is a lot of fun to listen to.
Oh, 100%. And I love it. These guys are great.
All right. Stoked on them. Absolutely. Let's get to number four.
Number four. Oh, the Black Midi album is called Cavalcade.
Cavalcade. All right.
Number four. Coming out of Germany, you'll find a common theme. There is a lot. Well, foreign for us. No Canada and U.S. But number four, we've got the new album A Hill to Die Upon by Mental Cruelty, coming out of Germany, Year of Deathcore.
Yeah, I was going to say that first. Year of Deathcore.
Too bad.
This is about as heavy as it gets, really. I mean, it's just heavy.
These guys are disgusting.
Disgustingly heavy. I just don't even know what to say. It's just really, really heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of can't help but make like one of these faces when you're listening to it. Like you just kind of have to brace yourself, like clench everything and get through the ride. Cause this is
like the song starts and you get the riff and then all of a sudden you get that high up and then it like the blast beats kick in and you're just like,
yep. Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Total stank. This is make that stank face.
Side
yeah.
of the stage, arms crossed. That the entire time. But no, these guys are great. To go a little bit more deep, they're deathcore, they're black and deathcore more specifically. So if you like black and deathcore bands like Lorna Shore, Hollow Prophet, Enterprise Earth, things like that, these guys are absolutely right up your alley. I'm surprised you haven't heard of them already. They're so
It's there's something else, man. And I do like the promo picture where the guy kind of looks like Darth Maul.
Yes.
Which I assume that's how you found them somehow, Mike.
No, I think that was from their music video or something. I found them because I was just like, I was scrolling Instagram or something like that. And maybe it was like Dan Watson or somebody from like a larger deathcore band was like, yo, check this out. And I was like, okay. I listen to your opinions and I listen to it. I'm like, this is my band. I'm going to promote.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. They're awesome. It's awesome. And like Germany, like, you know, I know it. I love it so much because it's just such a great place. They have such great fans of rock music, you know, metal, punk, whatever. I'm always surprised there aren't more bands coming out of Germany. So
it's because it's the nice crowd of fans is so dense there that they don't need to leave. Like, why leave if you've already got a good thing?
Absolutely. All right, number three.
Number three, we've got a weird project. We've got the new album, The Cost of Dreaming. Phenomenal. Absolutely.
I do like
by that. White Moth Black Butterfly.
White this Moth is Black Butterfly.
An electronic pop. They call themselves progressive, but it's a couple of members. Most notably, it's Daniel Tompkins, former vocalist of Sky Harbor, current vocalist of Tesseract.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, all of these people are involved in making progressive metal music, and they have decided to make pop music with that same writing style. It is very weird. I wouldn't even say it's weird. It's just good.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's weird either. It is just good. It sounds like it could be not from like the rock scene. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It sounds like it could be just straight up from you know, made by a pop producer or whatever.
Mm-hmm. But if you told me that was made by like a pop producer and you're like, hey, yo, this is new hot 40 song, and you handed me that, I'd be like, no, who wrote this? Somebody smart wrote this. Like,
it's really good, but it doesn't. Yeah, you don't. There's no like genty guitars or anything like deeply buried in this.
You maybe hear like the occasional like, and this is just coming from their last album. You hear like the occasional like chord dropped in, things like that, but it's not heavily distorted. This is very much a pop electronic record. Yeah. I almost want to say synth wavy without the 80s too, because some of the songs are kind of written in that style. It's super good. Lyricism's awesome. Vocalists are on point. There's male and female vocalists. It's just great.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this is important to note that, yeah, there's great female vocals on this from Jordan Bethany. It's great. Shit's awesome.
I love it. I'm so excited.
Yes, check it out. White Moth Black Butterfly. Bet you haven't heard of that, people, but you have now. All right, we got two more on this list already. All right, number two.
Number two. I kind of lied. There is one band from the States. This band specifically is from a pretty cool place in the States.
Oh, I have a guess.
They're from the D, good old Detroit, Michigan.
Not Des Moines, Iowa? Not that
D? Not Des Moines,
D?
Iowa. Different D. This is the new album Pacifica by Adventure.
Yeah.
Cool band. Found out about this band from the local scene, obviously, as well as they got signed to Kurt Travis's record label. So automatically flags good band right there. Kurt Travis says good. They're really fun. They're swancore, post-hardcore, whatever you want to call it. I've heard the album. It came out on Monday. So you can literally, after this on Twitch, go listen to it right.
Yeah, I haven't heard. Go ahead, Mike. I haven't heard the whole album. I heard some of the singles coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think is really cool about this band is they're a little bit throwbacky in some ways. Like if you like Old Minus the Bear, you can hear a little bit of that kind of influence or some of that kind of emo. But yeah, it's got the Minus the Bear kind of technical guitar aspect. You can definitely hear some Dance Gavin Dance vibes in there. Mm-hmm. But then they do have some like pretty heavy, you know, screaming parts as well.
Some kind of like Fall of Troy moments almost, or like the Chariot almost a little bit in there.
Yeah.
I compared them. I think they're most close to a band like Stolas or Wolf and Bear. There's a lot of bears in post-hardcore, swancore.
Yeah. But yeah, no, this band's great.
This record's awesome. I've listened to it, I think, 5 times now since it dropped on Monday. And that's with all of the new music last week too. It's great to just put on and spin. The album art's really, really cool, really detailed. And overall, I'm just super hyped on the record. It's awesome.
Yeah, this band is awesome. And they're only a 3-piece too, which is kind of interesting for a band that is, you know, this technical. For them to only have 3 members is kind of special too. So yeah, this is a band that I think is going to about to turn some heads. Don't miss them. Adventurer at number 2.
Oh yeah, good boys.
Good boys. Some good Michigan boys there.
Oh yeah.
I bet they love Faygo and
Eminem.
Yeah, of course. What else is from
Muscle
Michigan?
Muscle Cars,
Rasheed Wallace.
Oh yeah. Fudge.
Is that from Michigan? Is it invented?
Yeah, we've got like Mackinac Island Fudge and all that stuff.
Oh, okay.
Famous.
Okay.
Super cool.
I feel like the people everywhere thinks their fudge is famous.
Well,
but I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe.
Go Tigers. All right.
Tigers. Michigan sports.
They April in the D. That was like my favorite when they would do April in the D. The playoffs were coming when all like when the Wings had made the playoffs like 20 years in a row, and you know, you had baseball was coming. Tigers were always good. You've got the Pistons playoffs, and then all of a sudden everyone sucked, and they had to cancel the April in the D program.
Yep.
But I did. They used to have a songwriting competition to write the new April in the D song. It was always so cringy.
I remember growing up and like all the Michigan sports teams were really good. And like right as I started getting to like high school, adulthood, college and stuff like that, all the teams like, all right, we're kind of mediocre now, except the Lions. Lions have always sucked.
Mm-hmm.
But we love them because they suck. But then, like, everybody's like, okay, we're kind of mediocre now. And now everybody's just like, we all suck. And I'm like,
yeah,
love it.
Pretty much right now, it's not looking good either. But no. Take the bell tire challenge.
Yes.
All right, let's get into the number one album. But first, we want to give a shout out to our great sponsor. They're called Rockabilia. At the top of your screen, they treat us oh so well, and they have over 500,000 unique items of band merch and other stuff too. Mm-hmm. You can probably get some weird stuff on there if you go into their deep web section. No, I don't know if that's true, but no, Rockabilia.com, they got it all, great prices. But if you want even better prices, you can use my promo code Shane, S-H-A-N-E, and you'll save 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10% off their already low prices.
I don't know which is the right way to read it.
That's 10 there, that way. Although it looks like you're about to just finger your own hand. That was so weird. Oh, man. The visuals. He did it. He did it. For people listening on the podcast, he did it.
I like the Metallica shirt, by the way.
All right. Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We will be right back after these messages from Rockabilia. And we're back. We are back. Yeah. Thank you for the love for the shirt, Mike. You talked about it. I cut you off before the break. This is a really quite a special shirt. So...
What's so special about it?
Well, let me back up in the camera and you can see it. So you'll notice it says Metallica, and at the bottom it also says Guns N' Roses.
Well, Metallica's obviously at the top where they should be.
Well, I'll get to that in a second. So this shirt was purchased at the tour that Metallica and Guns N' Roses did together in, I believe, 1992. Mm-hmm. You can read the back of my shirt.
I wasn't even born.
So this is the 92. Back of it. 92 with special guest Faith No More.
Sweet.
And those are the dates. And see on the back, Guns N' Roses is at the top and Metallica's on the bottom.
Yeah.
Well, get this. So I don't know if I own both anymore, but I had two of these shirts because my sister went to the show. I wasn't able to go. I was supposed to go, and then that was when there was a riot in Montreal, and then James Hetfield burnt himself. And the next day was Toronto.
Oh, then.
Yeah. So the next
old
day
throwback
was
story.
So the next day was Toronto, and they obviously canceled. And I was supposed to go, and then they rescheduled the date, and I don't remember why I couldn't go. Like, maybe it was a school night or something.
Yeah.
And because I was 11. So I was really like young. And I couldn't go, but my sister brought me back the shirt. So this was hers, actually, with Metallica on the top, where you said where they should be. And then the one I had was exactly the same shirt, but Guns N' Roses at the top, Metallica at the bottom. These switched. And on the back, Metallica was at the top. So that's how much of a co-headline tour it is, that they had to make two shirts.
So what you're telling me is your sister, when she went, she got the bootleg one from the parking lot.
No, I can only imagine this shirt is probably worth a lot of money.
Oh, I'm sure.
Original,
it's dope.
1992, because like 19, that's crazy, that's 29 years ago. But yeah, this it's in actually really good condition. I haven't worn it too much. It was like, I think, well, my sister didn't wear it too much. It was in the back of her closet and I stole it.
Nice.
So yeah, but yeah, it is a pretty cool shirt.
Oh yeah.
So yeah. So that's
shirt talk.
And you can get more stuff like that at rockabilia.com. But we are going to get into the number one record. I'm ready for it. Mike, give it to us.
All right. I've heard this album already, coming out of Bristol, UK. It's the new album Wretched Abyss by Noctool. This is another super heavy record. It's not deathcore. I can't say you're deathcore. It's black metal inspired by the famous and ever-loved video game Skyrim. The important thing about this band is it's a solo project from Serena Cherry, a.k.a. the vocalist of Svalbard, which is an absolutely incredible god-tier band. and she continues to follow through and make an absolutely amazing record with this release. I love everything she touches musically, and it is just chef's kiss. I got the record in the mail today, my vinyl. I spun it. It's incredible.
Yes. So you were talking about the new release from Noctul. Mm-hmm. This is a really, really cool project. We haven't talked about Svalbard too much. I feel like their release came out maybe before this show started.
I missed it.
Oh, you missed it. Oh, that's so weird.
Yeah, because it was a thing that like we record these on Wednesdays, right? So I found the band like that Friday, like release day Friday. And I was like, all right, I'll put it on the list because like the album art looks cool. And then like I'm jamming through everything on the list and I get to this and I'm just like, what? And I had to go back. I listened to this album 3 times right in a row. I said, screw everything else that got released. We're listening to this. And it's just an absolutely incredible record. If you haven't listened to When I Die, Will It Get Better by Svalbard, go listen.
Yeah, and I mean, it made your top 10, right?
Yeah, it was my number 3.
Yeah, number 3 of the year. And this is a guy that listened to over 700 albums last year. So this project being the solo, it's called a solo project because it's one person behind it, but you wouldn't know listening to it.
No.
It's full instrumentation.
She does everything. She's super talented.
Yeah. And you're lucky that you got the vinyl in the mail a little earlier of release date. I've only heard the first two or three singles that have been released. Mm-hmm. But what I like about this project is you almost have to like, if you almost think about it, think back to it after the song's over, and you kind of forget that there isn't like really singing. It's like still screaming because there's so much melody in the instrumentals.
And she has just such fine control over her voice that it just blends in so well with everything to make this. It almost kind of works like an orchestra where like the guitar is the cello and her voice is the violin, and they're just kind of blending together super, super well.
Yeah. This songs that I've heard so far are really, really cool. And it's hard to describe a little bit, just super, super brutal and heavy with an insane amount of melody and catchiness in a genre that sometimes really, really needs that. So this is a cool release. Number 1. And for all the hype that Svalbard has had over the, you know, let's say the last year or so,
I'm surprised this is bigger.
What's that, Mike?
They're slowly growing, I think.
Yeah, I'm surprised this Noctul release hasn't hit quite yet, but I think it's coming.
Mm-hmm. I really hope so. And I mean, this is kind of the fall of solo projects too, especially the first release for a solo project. It always kind of flows under the radar, especially for a band like Svalbard. I think that they've really got their core listeners, and everybody who really likes Svalbard is really excited for this. But not a lot of people are coming to it from the outside yet. Just incredible project, both of them. And I highly suggest everybody check this out because it's just incredible. I wouldn't be surprised if this makes my top 10.
Awesome. Awesome.
I've realized I say that a lot, that I wouldn't be surprised if something makes my top 10.
Well, I mean,
I wouldn't. Top 50 could be in the top 10.
Come December, we'll see. We'll
throw the gloves.
It's going to be tough already. We have already a great year of music.
It's insane.
And surprisingly quick, we're almost halfway through the year. How did that happen?
I know.
How did that happen? We got a month to go till we're halfway through the year. That's messed up, man.
June's another crazy month for releases too.
Crazy. Well, so much diversity in the top 5 this week. Let's do a recap just to show that off. There's really something for everybody here, I think. Let's start with number 5.
So number 5, we've got the new album Cavalcade by Blackman.
Yes. Super, super interesting band. Number 4.
Number 4, we've got the new album A Hill to Die Upon by Mental Cruelty.
Yes. Very heavy German deathcore. Number 3.
Number 3, we've got the new album The Cost of Dreaming by White Moth Black Butter.
Yes. Poppy music made by not poppy people. Or something like that. But real good. Really something. Good. And number 2?
It's really good. Number 2, we've got Pacifica by Adventure. Coming out of the D.
Straight out of the D. Love this band. yes, for fans of old emo and with a little bit of modern technicality. Very good. And the number one release is
Wretched Abyss by Noctual. It's incredible. Go listen to it.
There we go. And that is our top five of the week. We're going to get to some honorable mentions. Brian in the chat keeps bothering us about Hypa Hypa, the EP.
Oh.
Did you check it out, Mike?
I did. Did you check it out, Shane?
No, Brian told me I needed to, and just to be honest, I just forgot. So I have to, I've heard there's videos that go with
all of
the remixes or covers of the song, or I'm not exactly sure. I feel like I have to see
some are features, some are covers, some are collabs. I don't know. It's all good. It's really fun. I suggest putting it on shuffle so it's not just Hypa 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 Hypa. You kind of get the other songs mixed in there too.
Oh, okay. I was told you have to listen to it in a certain order. So I don't know.
It's really fun. There's disco Hypa, there's country Hypa, there's black or there's deathcore Hypa. I mean, whatever you want, Hypa's got it for you.
Okay.
I thought it was a funny.
Okay. There we go. Someone else in the chat is saying, I try not to bug, but how do we not talk about the world record breaking song?
Oh, we can do that.
What's that? I don't even know.
The Beyond Deviation song with like 400 featured vocalists.
Oh yeah. I didn't listen to it.
It was really good.
It's really good. Oh, that's
yeah.
Yeah, of course. We talked about it last week. And I think I look back at the episode and we talked about so much stuff.
It's podcast amnesia.
Yeah, it kind of is. And then I will listen. I'll always remember the top five list or whatever. And I'll listen to those records, but then the singles and everything is just too much stuff. And I forget it. And that's right. The 400 features. Did you
37 minutes?
You listened to the whole thing and like what?
I've listened to it probably four times now.
Oh my God,
I think it's incredible.
Okay.
I think it's great. Like Beyond Deviation wasn't really a band that was on my radar, but this is cool. I mean, the just diversity in vocals, right? I mean, you have so many people working on it and it was really good. I wish it would have been more of like chopped up like an album, but I'm also kind of happy that it's a single because it's just kind of an epic undertaking, right? Like, I think it's just a super cool project. I think it was great. It was really well done. They somehow tackled the production nightmare that is that and came out with it not sounding like absolute garbage, which that in its own impressed me, let alone how good the song actually was.
No, I just imagine, like, you got to figure out a 400 features. Some of them must just be like, a few of them must just be like, yeah. And that's like it.
Some of them are just somebody who's like, I can only pig squeal, bro. That's all I can do. And they're like, all right, we got a 12 second slot for you, bud.
Hey, man, that still counts as one. Even if it's 4 seconds, it still counts as one feature.
It's like Legolas and Gimli counting the orcs. It still only counts as one.
Oh yes. Okay. Well, yeah. So there we go. Are you happy? We talked about it. I will listen to it probably immediately after this stream.
It's a ride.
Yes. Let's go and get into some honorable mentions. I want to know how many you have before we start.
I have 20.
20. Okay. All right. Now I know how fast I need to talk.
All right. So first up, I'm going to talk about three albums that I want to talk about. There is a new album from Our Hollow, Our Home. It's pretty good post-hardcore metalcore, that kind of like sweet spot in between the two. If you like that Convictions record, you'll really like this.
Okay. That's me getting through the first one with no comment.
That's how
we're going to get through 20. I got to shut my pie hole.
Next one, we got the new Sleep Signals album.
Mm.
Kind of post-hardcore metalcore again. I've heard the singles. I've enjoyed them. I wouldn't say anything like crazy stood out. This band didn't make the top five, unfortunately, but it's still a noteworthy album. I think it's going to be a good time. Next, there is a new album from this really, really weird black metal. And I should have just said black metal. You could have assumed it was weird.
Okay.
But it's this band called Portal. They're probably like they're really like Sleep Token, where they're kind of anonymous and stuff like that, but super heavy. These guys are really good. Like, black metal doesn't even kind of touch the surface. They're kind of like death metal and tech, and They're a little bit everything. They're just phenomenal songwriters.
Did you say they're called Porno?
Portal.
Portal, okay.
Yeah.
I definitely heard Porno. I was like, oh, okay, I'm just going to keep butt back talking.
We're just going to let this one ride.
We're just going to leave that elephant in the room sitting right there. Won't talk. Okay, Portal. That makes much more sense for a black metal band. Okay, yes. I got it. Okay, now that I can focus again on what you were saying, please continue.
Yeah, these guys are super cool. They're, I would say, a lot like Celestial Sanctuary, but a lot faster. If you checked out that album that we talked about earlier this year. These guys are really great. They're kind of one of my favorite little, like, almost culty bands where, like, you kind of look at their aesthetic and everything they do, and you're like, that's a cult. And I'm here for it. I think it's good music.
Okay.
Next up, we've got two EPs. First one I want to talk about, we have the second of three EPs from Of Mice and Men that are coming out this year.
Yes.
Great band. Unfortunately, just an EP. I kind of wish they would have released an album instead of three-song EPs. I think I said that the last time that they released something.
Well, is there some kind of theme behind it? Is that like what they're trying to do?
There might be.
Of Mice and Men, you know, they've had so many different lineup changes and mm-hmm. things over the years happen that
they have.
I feel like I'm still waiting for that, like, oh, like that like them to have that big moment, like, we're back, this is what we're doing now, and maybe this is the start of like kind of the next you know, mm-hmm. I don't know, the next generation of the band, you know, with who they are, kind of leave the past behind them a little bit.
I really hope this is bringing it in. I think it's Aaron Pauly wanting to put out some new music, but also not wanting it to be like, he kind of says, this really fits with Mice and Men, but I still want to do the new James Elsewhere mm-hmm. album. Mm-hmm. And I think he's kind of a little torn between the two. I'm really excited for the new James Elsewhere. I've never been a huge Of Mice and Men fan. I think they're a really good middle of the road band for me, but I've never been overly impressed by them, and I'm really excited to see Aaron Pauly's songwriting start to take over more and really kind of put a stamp on the band and make them something that I want to go out and see.
Yeah, 100%.
But still stoked for this EP. It's always fun. Aaron Pauly's great.
Along came Pauly.
Next, this EP came out today. It is an EP by Reflections. Reflections is a god tier deathcore, metalcore, whatever you want to call them band. It's kind of whatever they decide that they want to do on each release.
Deathcore,
baby. But this one's super heavy. One of the songs, I forget his name, but it's got the vocalist from Humanity's Last Breath, Phil Darta. Super heavy song. This new song I've listened to probably 3 or 4 times today. Super heavy. It's great. Fun little 3-song EP.
Yep.
Slams. Go check it out. Boys are great.
Okay.
And now we're into the singles.
Okay.
Actually, I lied. We've got 19 because we already talked about New Spirit Box.
Ah, okay. Good.
Boom.
Good.
Look at that. Spirit Box
has a new single. It rips. It absolutely rips. Don't miss it. In case you missed it earlier, it rips. What a band.
It's absolutely great. First one I want to talk about. Are you familiar with Scale to Summit?
Why? I know that name, but it's
instrumental, kind of like intervals. Okay. Bands like that. They announced a new album, and they have a featured vocalist on each of the songs. I absolutely love Scale to Summit. They're all really good instrumentalists that focus really, really intensely on the music theory behind everything. I'm excited for this record. It's great. The cool part about this single, though, is go check out the music video, because the entire music video is the guitarist sitting on a couch playing guitar. Except the neck of the guitar, each place you can place your finger on the fret has an LED. And there's like a cool slot, like LED light show on the neck of the guitar the entire song. And it's just super.
Okay.
I've never seen that. I've seen LEDs on fretboards before, don't get me wrong, but like an entire fretboard LED system is wild.
I feel like they used to have that. Like when back in the day when I was a kid, they used to have some guitar that would have lights wherever you could put your finger to like teach you mm-hmm. where like scales and stuff. So you could switch like from the key, whatever. And then if you were trying to play lead, you could, it'd be like wherever the thing is, you play in whatever mode. I forget what that was called. So I don't know if it's that thing, if they still make it, but
I mean, it's, it sounds similar, but yeah. I mean, obviously instrumental band, super high end guitar, very custom made. It looks
cool.
Pristine.
Cool.
Next up. And I'm very excited for this. Tomorrow, we have the return of one of our favorite vocalists in the scene, Mr. Paddy Walters.
Oh, yes.
There's a new As It Is single.
Oh,
a new era of As It Is.
Yeah, yeah. I that's great. It is a new era, you know, because the last time they put out an album, and they came out with the My Chem look.
Sad boy.
Yeah, very, very emo, and the whole band was doing it. And I think it's their best album. Great Depression, I believe, is the name of the album.
Yep.
And I really wasn't sure if the aesthetic did the record justice. I felt like it kind of overtook what people were talking about, and I didn't feel like all the guys in the band, like, for example, their drummer Foley, I don't know how on board he would have been with that kind of thing. So their drummer Foley is gone. Ben is gone. Guitar player that sang and wrote a lot of songs is gone. This really is a new era of the band. And I believe very much in what Paddy does. I think he's very talented. I think the band is awesome. So this, I'm very excited to hear this single.
Yeah, and I'm really excited too. I think Paddy is kind of a huge brain in that he thinks everything out that he's kind of doing, very similar to Austin Knight in that regard. And I think that this is going to be a really well put together single. I think the entire kind of release rollout for this next album is going to be super well put together, super thought out. And it's going to be
hell yeah.
As long as the music is great. So
We'll see. I mean, I think that, you know, whenever you lose, you know, a lead guitar player, you know, singer, you would assume he probably has a hand in some of the music. I don't know if that's the case. I know obviously Paddy is super talented, you know, musician in his own right, not just on the vocals. So I have a feeling we're going to be getting something very good out of this.
Oh, 100% agree. Where was I at on my list? Next up, we've got a new song from our favorite shock metal artist, I guess, whatever you want to call it. Poppy put out a new song.
Oh boy.
I love Poppy. This one's almost kind of like punk.
Okay.
It's weird, at least for me, but I like it. I like how she doesn't really have a genre. She puts out noise. She puts out metal. Puts out pop. She kind of does whatever she wants. And I absolutely love that. I think it's a really good song. Yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at with it.
Yeah, no. What was the, was it Music to Scream To? Was the really, really weird thing she put out with, like, it had all those like 6-7 minute songs, and it was like all noise and like sort of unlistenable.
Yeah.
So this, yeah, coming off of that, this will be interesting to see what she does.
Yeah. I can't wait to hear it.
Sweet.
Or, well, I've already heard it, but
okay.
Next up, we've got a new single on Friday from The Main.
Hmm.
I love The Main. They're great.
Big friends of the show, and John's one of the best. And just a band that you just never count that band out, because they are just going to keep coming at you with great songs, great lyrics, great aesthetic, and you know, they put out music themselves. They're a completely independent band, and
their own label, just everything.
I have so much respect for them. Don't sleep on The Main.
Incredible, guys.
Awesome.
Next up, let's talk about a little emo rap.
Okay.
We got,
how about it?
Little Lotus, aka singer of If I Die First, putting out a track. He's announced an album as well, but the new track is featuring Chrissy Costanza from Against the Current.
Nice. Very nice.
It's incredible. Super well done. Awesome single. I love it. And then obviously Chrissy is just so talented.
I love it. I love the collabs.
Against the Current is such a weird band. I want them to announce it.
Could see it. I could see it happening.
They put out 2 singles, I think. We'll see.
I could see it happening.
Next up, What would the year of deathcore be without a band coming back from death? Okay. A Night in Texas is making music again. It put out their first single. It is super heavy.
Who? I missed it.
A Night in Texas.
Okay.
Yep. Super talented deathcore band, one of the OGs. They're back making music again. They've announced a new, they call it a double album. It's 14 tracks, and it's just going to be fitting on two CDs. The album kind of has two sides to it, I guess. I don't know the exact details. The song's heavy. It's deathcore. It's great.
It's Australian.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, it's Australian. You know it's good.
Exactly.
There we go.
Next up on Friday, we are changing it up a little bit and going back to kind of pop punk side. Tiny Moving Parts, new single.
Yes.
I love Tiny Moving
Parts. Me too.
Tiny
man.
Moving Parts.
Me too. In my opinion, one of the most underrated bands.
100% agree.
Like, so good. And yeah, I mean, I know they're you know, popular band, and they do really well, you know, on tour and everything. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel like I hear enough people talking about them.
No.
They're just super interesting.
And yeah, they're
like really great songs, and a lot of great musicianship in that band. It's
mm-hmm. I love how obviously talented they are instrumentally. And you like listen to the riffs, and you're like, man, this is such a great riff. But it never takes away from the pop punkness of the song.
I know.
Which is something weird. Because like it's almost like post-hardcore. It's almost easy. I don't know how to describe it, but it's just super good. I love it.
Yeah, exactly. I don't really know how to describe it either. Because they're kind of in their own world. But I don't want to say that mm-hmm. in a bad way. Like they're in their own, they're doing this original music that kind of no one else is doing. But it's mm-hmm. really, really catchy. Like I don't want that to take away from what they're doing. Because yeah, that's a band that everybody, if they've somehow missed it, they need to mm-hmm. get on that. I mean,
definitely.
I don't know how this band only has, I'm looking at it, only 188,000 monthly listeners on Spotify. I'm surprised.
Fix that.
Because they do very well at their own shows, and they're making some just incredible music.
They always like to headline like small independent venues too. Like whenever they do a headlining tour, that's where they play. Like they played Blind Pig in Ann Arbor.
Yeah.
Which is a venue like nobody in our scene goes to.
No, I've been there. Jeez, that place has been around forever. I feel like I went there in like 2002 or something.
I've only been there twice.
Yeah.
Tiny Moving Parts and Oakley Dokley.
Oh no.
Which is the Ned Flanders death metal band. I went there.
They played there together?
Two different times. That would be insane. I went there though. There's maybe 20 people for Oakley Doakley. Half of them were dressed as Ned Flanders as well. So like you couldn't even tell who a band member was because everybody was a Flanders. It was incredible.
Oh my God. Were you dressed up like Ned Flanders too?
No,
oh.
I didn't know. Nobody told me. Now I know for the future.
That's so funny. I cannot wait till the border opens up and me and Mike can go see Oakley Doakley. Oakley Doakley, Ailstorm.
Wizard Throne.
Exactly, Wizard Throne. Let's bring it on. The more ridiculous, the better. Steel Panther for sure.
Oh, 100%.
Yes, that's going to be it. Cannot wait.
Speaking of more ridiculous bands, we have a new single from this absolutely awesome band that is super, almost criminally underrated, called 12 Foot Ninja.
Okay.
These guys are rock, metal, kind of a little medley of everything that you want. Weirdness. They wore Wiggles outfits during the music video for this. They were in quote-unquote animatronic like animal suits, like at Chuck E. Cheese. You remember how they used to have the animatronic ones?
Okay,
and apparently like they weren't animatronics, they were real animals according to this video, and they were addicted to Parmesan cheese, and that's what they were being paid in. Fuck Wild music video. I love these guys. They're absolutely insane. I think they're super underrated. I can't say it enough. I love them.
Awesome.
New single's great. Next up, a little bit less weird. There's a new single from Half-Lives. I absolutely love these guys. They're kind of pop punk, but I'm going to say more on the like electronic pop side with tinges of punk. Very, very fun coming out of the UK. If you like bands like Hot Milk or Stand Atlantic, Yonaka, stuff like that. Right up your alley. You're going to love this.
Yes. Female-fronted, important to note, yes. Half-Lives, check them out. Definitely a up-and-coming band for sure.
Awesome stuff. And another up-and-coming band, we've got my friend Ford, member of the All Access Club. He's got a band called Little Death.
Yes.
These guys are absolutely incredible. Another band I think is up and coming. They have written nothing but bangers. They're putting out a new single either tomorrow or Friday. I can't remember. But I'm so excited for this song. Everything these guys write is just great. An earworm. Incredible.
Yeah. Go check. I'm on board for this. Ford is the man, and yeah, I'm waiting for this to explode as well.
100%. This is a dragged under situation where we're just like anticipating.
Yes, exactly. Not the same music at all as dragged under. Different aesthetic and different sort of vibe, but I could see this getting massive. And yes, make sure you check it out. The band again is called Little Death. One word, kind of. Well, little is little, death is big. It's kind of how it is. One word. Type it in. Go listen to it. You're going to love it.
They're great. Lose My Head is just a
banger.
Such a good song. I'm going to listen to that after this. Next up, I know that you're a fan, Shane, and I am a huge fan. We got the third single from Red Fang's new album, Arrows.
Yes.
I love Red Fang.
I love Red Fang. We had Aaron on the stream yesterday. He's going to be on an upcoming episode of the show. Obviously, super, super interesting band. First of all, I don't know if you know this, Mike. They didn't start until they were in their mid-30s.
Yeah.
In 2005. So they're old.
Yeah.
But what they're most known for are their absolutely amazing and in crazy intense music videos.
Oh, that's how I found them. Like right around like 2010, I think they put out the music video for what's this? They like made armor beer cans and went and killed some. Prehistoric Dog. Yeah, that song's great. Like, I absolutely love these guys. I've been a fan ever since. They're kind of like fast stoner rock, stoner metal. If that makes sense.
Yeah, they're
like,
stonery, not super slow, a little catchier, but great, really great. But you got to watch their videos. Watch all their videos. Oh, yeah. They definitely are one of the bands that like, they're kind of like the OK Go of heavy music. Yeah. Definitely don't miss Red Fang. They rule. Yeah.
They're absolutely incredible band besides the music videos too. I love these guys. Yeah. They're doing some really good stuff.
Yeah, 100%.
Next up, we've got another deathcore, kind of hardcore song from Body Snatcher. I love Body Snatcher. They're great. Go check them out. Next up, there's a really cool song from metalcore/post-hardcore project Siamese. Their single before this was featuring Rory from Bayseeker. Absolutely incredible band, super talented guys, just great. Then I've got one more single for you, Shane. How do you feel about the return of Turnstile?
I'm here for it. Let me in. Oh, I think everybody in is. Right through the thing that I go through to get in.
You're not jumping them.
The band. I'm not. No, I am jumping it. I need it. I need it in my life.
Jumping the turnstile. Get the turnstile.
Turn me on, Mike, to this band. I need this in my life.
No. Turnstile.
The return. Yeah. How long has it been now? I feel like it's been a minute.
I think it has too.
As we furiously type it in to.
Yeah. 2018 album. They had a single in 2020. Kind of grungy punk with. They always get built or tossed on pop punk tours. They probably feel more at home on like a Riot Fest, stuff like that. But great band. Absolutely love them.
Super. Yes, absolutely. What do they call them on Spotify, I wonder? I see. Okay. Well, they recorded with Will Yip, so that tells you something.
Yeah.
But no, they don't have any genre name, which I appreciate that. Just go listen to them. And this will be their first release since 2018
for albums. They put out a single or two in 2020, little three song EP, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a while. All right. Yeah. Well, we must be getting through this list. How many more?
Yeah, we're done. That's it.
That's it. Turnstile, the closing band. Well, that's great. I love it. I love this week. I love all the music. There's so much variety, so much good stuff already out to check out. You can never get bored. People, like, if you grew up when I grew up with music releases, you would be so bored because, like, I would buy a CD and I would listen to it over and over and over again for like 2 months until something else came out that I heard of.
A lot of people are still that way.
Why? For $9.99, you can listen to everything that's ever come out, including new stuff. It's crazy. How do they make any money? Truth is,
ads.
They do. It's just that the bands don't anymore. Yeah. That's a conversation for another day, perhaps.
Sure.
So, Mike, are you going to hang around for a bit?
Of course, you know me.
All right, we are going to hang out, but we are going to end the podcast right here. Thank you, everybody, for listening on the podcast side of things. Check out all the new ones. Make sure you follow Mike at Slappy Slam on Instagram for the full list. And you can follow me, too, if you want, but whatever. And I don't do too much. That's it. So we'll see you guys next week.